Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. I'm Johnny Burrow and we're ready to walk you through all the biggest deals of the day. But we're not just doing rumour, we're not just doing conjecture. Which of these deals actually could happen? We're off to Manchester for the latest on United with Derek Brazil, the former United defender. We're hearing in today's Sun, and this is story one. Okay, which illustrates the total insanity of transfer silly season. United will give David De Gea £20 million if he leaves the club and goes to PSG this summer. That's because of a loyalty clause in his contract, if the Sun are to be believed. Just baffling. And the club have made a £40 million bid for Aaron Wan-Bissaka. That's if we're believing Sky Sports News. That one, by the way, I do believe. But Crystal Palace want more like £60 million. For what it's worth, United are going to pay it. At the point where they're bidding £40 million, they know they'll have to pay £60 million and they'll know they're willing to do it. João Félix has also been in the headlines this week. He's a Nations League winner with Portugal. He could be set to leave his club Benfica this summer. It's reported in the Metro that the president of Benfica is open to that move. And the Daily Mail via the Daily Record are reporting that United have already offered the youngster a contract worth £26 million. United in the headlines as well. Thomas Meunier looking very, very likely. The Belgian wing-back from PSG. I say this time and again on this show, there are a few things to look for with these transfer deals to let you know which could happen. One is the length of the rumour, its longevity. How long has it been reported for? If it's a consistent rumour that keeps cropping up, it's far more likely to happen. The other factor is the fee not changing. If it's ricocheting around 10, 20, 30, then 20 again, not so sure. If it stays at a similar level, best of all, a specific number, it's got legs, and £22 million is still the number we're hearing for them. But Arsenal could be about to get in a fight with West Ham and Spurs, not on the pitch for once, but rather for Atlanta holding midfielder Franck Kessier. That's according to the Daily Express. And they could even be in for a former Premier League failure. They're in for Fiorentina's Jordan Veretout, who previously got relegated with Aston Villa. But L'Equipe are reporting that Napoli are already in talks for the Frenchman. Lots of deals for West Ham as well. Not just Kessier, Maxi Gomez, another deal that won't go away. And apparently the Hammers are now in for Lobotka as well, who plays in midfield for Maxi Gomez's Celta Vigo, raiding clubs in the hole. And from Serie A in general, a few more deals. Koulibaly is still a name that's flying around. Have United really bid £84 million? I'm not so sure. If you think I'm wrong, if you've got some inside information, you can ring me. It's 0208 7020 558. That's to call or to WhatsApp. But I just want to take one of the deals we talked about as example two of why this transfer market is quite so bonkers. So the press, very, very broadly, particularly The Express, reporting that three major London clubs, your London teams first, as ever, here on Love Sport Radio, we're hearing that West Ham United, Spurs and Arsenal are all in for Atlanta CDM Franck Kessier. Now, Kessier is an exciting player. He's 22 years of age. He's an Ivorian international, highly, highly rated since his teenage years. He spent the last two seasons on loan at AC Milan. He's done okay. He's not set the world on fire. But there's a clause in that contract. This is the rumour. This is how the rumour mill works. We're hearing that as part of that loan deal, AC Milan are this summer legally required to purchase the midfielder on a permanent basis from Atlanta for 27 million quid. So you're listening to me and you're thinking, well, okay, he's going to AC Milan. Why are you bothering to tell me that he's linked with all these London clubs? Well, because it gets more complicated. This is where the transfer rumour mill hots up. AC Milan having financial difficulty. We're hearing that they will sign him for 27 million because they have to, and then immediately shift him for 30 million to either Arsenal, West Ham, or Tottenham. A bizarre little chain reaction, a bizarre little merry-go-round. Could that happen? I suspect it might. The only worry from a London club perspective will be, why wouldn't Milan try and make more than 3 million quid? Why would they say, oh, we've just signed him, let's sell him for pretty much the same value? No. If you've bought him for 27 million and you've got three clubs circling, you can play them off against each other. Have a bit of fun with it. Add another zero. Add another 10 mil to it. See what happens. But Kessier is a classic example of a very, very good player who some fans of major clubs are going to turn their noses up at because he's not a star name. He's not yet a world-class talent who everyone has heard of. And we need to talk about fans of Premier League clubs in particular being sniffy, being snobs about the kind of players they're signing, the names of those players, the profiles of those players, and the clubs they're coming from. People look, for example, at Ryan Fraser of Bournemouth, heavily linked to Arsenal, and say, well, he's not good enough. He plays for Bournemouth. Where's the logic? Absolutely no logic at all. Ryan Fraser got the second most assists in the Premier League last season, second only to Eden Hazard. And you want to tell me that he's not good enough simply because he plays for Bournemouth, who are, by the way, quite a good team. Come off it. There are other players who we're going to be talking about tonight who fans will say exactly the same thing. Jordan Veretout, well, previously relegated with Aston Villa, so he must be rubbish. No, not the case. He's been doing very, very good things in Serie A. Don't go, guys, just off the name. Don't go off the glitz. Don't go off the glamour. Definitely don't go off the reputation. Think about those gems. Sergio Aguero arrived at City already as a star, but when he arrived at Atletico Madrid, just a highly rated youngster, not a world-class talent. Think about Thierry Henry. He turned up at Arsenal having already nominally blown it, failed at Juventus. Career over, the same as Bergkamp, came from Inter. His move hadn't worked out. I mean, look at Roberto Carlos, arguably the greatest left-back of all time, ruled out by none other than Roy Hodgson at Inter Milan as not good enough, flogged to Real Madrid relatively on the cheap, went on to become a world star. And talking of left-backs, the ultimate Premier League example of this snobbery being absolute nonsense is Andy Robertson. The Liverpool left-back has developed into one of the finest, if not the finest, wing-back in European football. He was laying on the assists thick this season. He got more than 10, which is extraordinary for a defender. Where did he come from? 8 million quid, relegated Hull. Come off it. If he's good enough, Ryan Fraser's good enough, Kessier's good enough. That's not to say that all of these players will excel. You've obviously still got to actually assess their ability. But don't look at a player and think, I haven't heard of him, or he doesn't earn 100 grand a week, or he doesn't play for a major European superpower, and assume he isn't good enough. It just doesn't work like that. There are gems to be found. And listen, you're in the right place, because we're going to find them.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to Johnny Burrow here on Love Sport Radio for the Transfer Rumour Mill, and we're off to Manchester United to find out what's going at the heart of Northern footballing superpowers. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Derek Brazil, former United defender. Good evening, Derek. Thanks for giving me your time tonight. Let's talk about David De Gea. He's been absolutely central to this United team for quite some time. And yet we're hearing in The Sun today that United are considering paying him a £20 million golden handshake if he leaves the club this summer. They will pay him to go. What on earth is going on?
Well, first of all, you hit the nail on the head when you said you read it in The Sun. We're in a silly part of the season now, aren't we? There's going to be so many rumours flying around with different players, whether it's De Gea or whether it's Pogba, Sanchez. I wouldn't really be too disappointed if De Gea went. He has been amazing for the club. But I think, you know, in Romero, they've got probably just as good a keeper in the Premier League as a lot of the other teams have. Whether they're going to pay him 20 million and say thanks very much and go, because I think his contract runs. Is it next year his contract runs?
Yeah, so this is the situation. For anyone listening who's baffled as to why a club would pay their star man to leave, the suggestion is that PSG are going to bid somewhere between 60 and 75 million this summer. Now, if De Gea doesn't go this summer, he can leave for free next summer. So United are looking at giving 20 mil of that possible 75 to him to make sure they make their money. Baffling.
Yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's it. Because, you know, if De Gea lets his contract run out next season, plays for United next season, United fans will think, great, you know, we've gone for another year, but they won't get a penny for him. So they're probably looking at him thinking, you know, if we do want a fee for him, well, let's get something for him. And if it means giving him 20 million of it, and both, you know, parties are happy, then they've got, you know, they've got to bite the bullet and do that, haven't they?
I mean, how do you rate De Gea as a keeper, Derek? You, of course, were a defender. How much would you have enjoyed playing with a guy like him behind you?
Well, it says it all, really, in terms of, obviously, he had a poor back end of the season. But for the previous 3 or 4 years, he was player of the season. That's not really boding well for United defensively. But he has been amazing for United, and it'd been a dream to actually play with him, because he gives so much confidence to his defence in terms of he saved them so many times. But football's a cutthroat business, and if he goes and he's made his mind to go, because I think he would have signed the contract by now if he wanted to stay. He obviously is looking at it and thinking, you know, maybe he doesn't want to stay. You know, maybe Romero is knocking on Solskjaer's door and saying, listen, if I don't get in, I'm going.
Yeah,
United,
that's a good point.
Two goalkeepers of a high-quality standard.
So, Derek, are you confident that if De Gea does go, Romero is the man?
I don't see why the club should sign a goalkeeper if Romero, you know, is pushed forward. And because in the games he's played for United, he's never let them down. Romero, he's never let them down, and he's, you know, I don't know what age he is, but he must be thinking, you know, looking at it and thinking, this is my chance now. This is my chance to statement, you know, number one. I think the club would be silly to go and spend, now to replace De Gea, they're going to have to spend probably the same amount of money they get for De Gea.
I think more. I mean, we're hearing reports today that they could be in for Atletico Madrid keeper Jan Oblak. They'd have to pay all of his £107 million release clause. So they wouldn't be making any money.
No. And plus, how is he going to do? How is he going to do in the league? You know, they've got a proven goalkeeper in Romero there who, like I say, he's never let the club down. He knows the Premier League. He knows the what's required. You bring a keeper in, you know, particularly a foreign keeper. I don't know how old that lad
is. He's 26.
Yeah, and who's to say he's going to be a success? Because what will happen is if he plays and starts well, that's great. But if he makes a few mistakes in the first few games, what does Solskjaer do? It's Solskjaer's signings this year, you know, this summer, have got to be spot on, because he will be scrutinised right from the off in terms of what players he signs. And they've got to hit the ground running.
They have.
They really have.
Derek,
know?
I think you make a fantastic point about Romero being adequate, better than adequate, backup replacement even for De Gea. But looking at this cynically, United fans are a fickle bunch, and will they not be in absolute uproar if the club sell De Gea and don't buy a big star to replace him?
I think they do need to sign a big star, but not in goal. I think Man United fans are looking at it, and you know, if you did a poll on Man United fans and said, you know, would you be happy with Romero? You'd probably get 75% of them saying yeah.
Okay, so who's the star you'd go for, Derek, in a different position?
Different position? Well, I think you need two or three, to be honest. I like the signing of Dan James. I think that's a really good acquisition. And it'd be interesting to see if he's actually signing him to play him. It would be pointless, really, to sign him and stick him in the reserves and use him just now and again.
Well, it's like what Man City did with Patrick Roberts, and they really slowed his career down.
It didn't do anything. I think the whole Man United transfer saga will revolve around Pogba, unfortunately. I mean, Pogba...
Is he staying? You
know, personally, I would sell him because I don't think his heart is where it should be in the club. You know, there's too many times this year where, you know, fans and players have probably thought, right, you need to step up now, you need to do it. And he's been found wanting. He really has. And I mean, I watched Man United Cardiff the last game of the season, and him and Martial were just strolling around. I understand it's the last game of the season, but for 75,000 Man United fans, it doesn't matter whether it's the last game of the season or it's the first game of the season. They're brought up on players playing for the badge.
Yeah, particularly when you're struggling against a side who've already been relegated, Derek.
Well, I work for Cardiff City as well on match days. So it's to watch the game, so I was kind of torn between them. I mean, Cardiff played very well to win and deserved it. But United were poor. They really were. And I think I've noticed today that Juventus are back in for Pogba. You know, he will bring a lot of money in. Now, if he goes to Real Madrid, I'd like to see Bale come. It may be a bit of a gamble with Bale, but he is the type of player. If he's fit, he will excite the crowd. They definitely need a full-back and a centre-back. I mean, I don't know what the rumours are true about Maguire.
I think they are true, actually. I think United
was really close to signing last year. And I think Woodward did it out, and next minute he'd signed a four-year contract at Leicester. So I think Maguire did want to come, but it was just, you know, messing around. He would be a great signer for United.
90 million, though, Derek. Is he worth that? That's a world record for a defender.
Well, you look at Van Dijk. I mean, when people paid 75 million for him, everyone thought that was a risky thing, and he's been out, you know, probably the most outstanding player in the league this year.
Yeah, changed the whole team.
Maguire, I think what United have to do, and I know people are saying it might take us a couple of years to challenge, 2 or 3 years to challenge Man City and Liverpool, which probably will, you know, but the best we can probably hope for is to get in the Champions League. For me, Maguire knows the Premiership, you know, he knows it inside out, you know, he's a fully fledged England international now, who does really well for them. He would slot in straight away. The same with the lad at Crystal Palace, the fullback.
Well, I was about to say, we're hearing rumours that United have already bid £40 million for Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Still a young lad, very impressive. Would you have him?
Definitely. Now, he was a standout performer for Palace last year. And again, it's another player who knows the demands of the Premier League. My fear would be for United, if they do make 2 or 3 signings this year, that they're all foreign boys who haven't played in the Prem, you know?
Yeah, and take that time to adjust.
Yeah. I don't think United have that time to do that. And certainly Solskjaer hasn't got that time. As much as the club will say, look, we'll give him time to... You know what it's like, 5 or 6 games in, if United are not picking up results, unfortunately, the crowd may turn on Solskjaer. He may have a little bit more time because of his career at United. But... for me, it would be, he needs players that are proven in the Premier League. I'm not saying players who play in Italy or Spain or Germany are not proven, but the Premier League is a different ballgame altogether.
It is, and you need that time to adapt, Derek.
And I don't think he needs players to come straight into it. I don't know, the rumours about Lukaku going, I think that could be true.
Yeah, I mean, linked to Inter, the issue with Inter is that they're struggling in terms of financial fair play, so we might have to wait a bit on that one. The interest is certainly real, hard to know. But Derek, those are very good points. Thank you for joining us, and lovely to speak to you. Thank you for your time. Derek Brazil there, former United defender. Really interesting, that De Gea stuff. I think, actually, that 20 million golden handshake is a classic example of a transfer rumour which sounds like rubbish but might be true. Look at Chelsea. with Eden Hazard. They wouldn't have wanted to get rid of their star man this summer, but faced with cashing in or losing him for free next year, you've got to take the money. And I suspect Wan-Bissaka could be heading to Old Trafford as well. But back to London, and to North London specifically. Let's talk Arsenal, find out exactly who the Gunners are gunning for with Harry Simeu of Chronicles of a Gooner.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Harry Simeu of Chronicles of a Gooner. Good evening, Harry. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to start by throwing a name at you that I didn't think I would ever see linked with Arsenal Football Club. Jordan Veretout, now at Fiorentina. He's 26. L'Équipe are reporting that Arsenal are interested for around £20 million. Would you have him?
First of all, evening. Secondly, in terms of Veretout, he's not a player I've seen a great deal of this season, if I'm being honest. I've watched quite a bit of Serie A this season, but unfortunately, I never seem to catch Fiorentina games. But, I mean, he's a player that's highly spoken of in Italy at the moment. And you know, everybody knows that Fiorentina's season took a real nosedive. And in the end, they were lucky to escape relegation, which is shocking when you think that around Christmas time, people were talking about them getting a European spot. So, I mean, their season has nosedived for a variety of reasons. I wouldn't say it's down to Jordan Veretout, but he wouldn't be in the first sort of three or four midfielders on my list in terms of, you know, recruitment that I think Arsenal should be looking to do this summer.
Who would you be after, Harry?
Well, it's really difficult to say because when you talk about, I mean, if you had an open checkbook, there are lots of players that you can, of course, go out there and get, but we don't have that. We know that there are limitations at the club, restrictions, if you like. I mean, for me, I think that Dennis Praia of Sampdoria is probably a better option than Veretout, in my opinion. I think he's had a better season. I think he's in a team that's been playing a lot better than Fiorentina have as well. And he just strikes me as an interesting player, someone that I think could do really well at Arsenal. And there are links there. Of course, people are talking about Arsenal and this double deal where it'll be
Joachim Anderson.
That's right, who looks a really good centre-half. And to be honest, he's probably the more exciting prospect of the two, the centre-half Anderson. But, you know, I'd take them both. And I think if we're talking about a combined fee of around €48 million or something like that, that's what's being reported. I think that's quite reasonable this day and age to get two very good players. I wouldn't say world-class players, top level, but they're very good players. And I think we just have to accept that that's kind of the bracket we're shopping in at the minute.
Mm. Do you think it's likely? We're hearing it reported consistently. The fee is sounding consistent. And this is a rumour that's come out of nowhere and now is being reported everywhere, which makes me think there must be something in it.
I think with Sampdoria, they were on the verge of a takeover. An American company were in talks with the chairman, the president, I should say, regarding a takeover. And it was said that, you know, Gianluca Vialli was going to go in there and head up this takeover and everything. And that has all gone away, which is making people believe that Sampdoria's financial situation is a very poor one. And therefore, they could be tempted to do this deal, even though, you know, I'm sitting here saying that it's not a great deal of money for two very good players in 2019. It just feels like Sampdoria could be tempted. And I guess this is another sign of perhaps the state that club is in when they're, you know, it seems this deal is being thought of. I think they're very strapped for cash. And I wouldn't be surprised if it could happen. I do think it is likely. I think of all the rumours we're hearing about Arsenal at the minute, I think this is probably the most credible one.
Very, very interesting. And it is another positive for you as an Arsenal fan, the fact that Lucas Torreira came from Sampdoria too. He knows these two and it might help them hit the ground running.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's always good where possible to try and get players together that know each other, of course, coming in. It helps the chemistry of the team, doesn't it? But also, like you said, if you're someone new coming to a new country, it's not easy to settle in. And that goes with any job, any industry that you're in. And so to have an old friend there would certainly help them. And I think we can take encouragement from players like Torreira, because there are a lot of people out there who would turn their nose up at making signings from Serie A. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of that league. It's a league I follow very closely. And I think that people are wrong to do so. And I think Torreira is an example of someone who can, you know, who has made that transition and has handled it absolutely fine.
Harry, do you think we've got a problem with snobbery in terms of transfers in the Premier League with regards to who we sign players off?
I think what we've got is, I think we've got used to a market here in the Premier League where prices are ridiculously overblown. And so as a result of that, you have people that would look at a deal like this one we're just talking about for two players, 50 million maximum. And we're thinking, well, how good can they be for that sort of money? That's kind of our attitude here. And I think that's wrong, because I think when you're talking about transfers of players, you know, from one country to another, there's so many factors you have to take into account. So there's not as much money around in Serie A as there is in the Premier League. We know that they're all working very hard to bring up the marketability of the league and improve in that department. You know, you can see, for example, Juventus are changing their club crest, etc., to try and do that, to get their marketing up to the point.
It's a big part of signing Ronaldo as well for them, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
They got a world-class player, but they also got world-class shirt sales.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is so important. So when we're talking about buying players from those sort of divisions, that's why the prices that those clubs command are so much less. It's not because they're not good enough. And, you know, I think people need to open their eyes. There is more to football than the Premier League. You know, the Premier League is the most exciting league. It's the most well-marketed, well-broadcast, etc. But it doesn't necessarily mean in terms of footballing quality that we're always at the very top. And so, you know, I know this year the English teams had great years in the European competitions, etc. But that hasn't been the case over the last few years. So I think turning our noses up at players because of the leagues they're coming from, it is a bit silly in my opinion.
Yeah, or indeed the teams they come from in the form of Bournemouth or Hull for Andy Robertson. I think that's a really interesting insight, Harry. Thank you for that. Just a final name to ask you about. William Saliba, young centre-half. He's 18 years old, playing for Saint-Étienne. Football.London are reporting that Arsenal could be able to do a deal here, but the French side would want him loaned back for one season. Is this a deal to just get done and leave it on the back burner?
I mean, for me, I think that if Arsenal were in a stronger financial position than they are, then I'd be all for this. I'd be saying, you know, go out there, do what you need to do, get the player in for the future. But having said that, I've heard a lot of mixed reviews about Saliba this season. You know, it seems like consistency is a little bit of an issue for him, which
is
fair
18.
Enough. He is 18, exactly. That was the next point I was going to make. He is 18, and so you've got to take that into account. But for me, if Arsenal are going to spend a substantial amount of money on a centre-back, it needs to be someone that is able to come into the team and improve us now. And I'm not entirely sure that Saliba can do that. I think the whole thing about a loan move, you're absolutely right in saying that. Saint-Étienne are being very adamant that they want him to be loaned back to the club. And I think as a result, that will make this deal not as appealing to Arsenal. I think that clubs like Manchester United, perhaps, or Manchester City would be far more willing
with
to do
bigger
a deal
checkbooks.
Like that.
But I suppose the flip side of that coin, Harry, is that if Saint-Étienne are so keen to have him back, they clearly think he's good enough to play a significant role next season. So perhaps he's one, as you say, for Arsenal to leave this year because of financial restrictions, but just keep in the back of their minds. Harry, it's been fantastic to speak to you. Thanks ever so much, particularly for your insight on Serie A. That was fantastic. Harry Simeou there, Chronicles of a Gooner. Lovely to have you joining me this evening. And we're sticking with London. We're a London-centric station. Your London teams first, as ever, here on Love Sport Radio. And we're nipping east over to West Ham. We're going to be talking to James Jones of West Ham World and the West Ham Fan Show. And finally, the Hammers are going for Mitrovic.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow. And one thing I'm finding really hard to adjust to with the transfer market these days is seeing clubs who, with all due respect, I don't consider financial powerhouses, splashing masses of money. One such club is West Ham. You know, I grew up watching, okay, Mark Noble was always there and Carlton Cole was always there. And then occasionally they'd spend a few quid on Dean Ashton and we'd all get really excited. But that would be it for the summer. Whereas last year, 100 million quid, best part, with not world class, but world rated talents, the likes of Felipe Anderson and Yarmolenko coming in, we're seeing all the clubs start gradually spending more. It's all that TV money coming in. And could West Ham be at it again this summer? I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by James Jones of West Ham World and, of course, the West Ham Fan Show every Wednesday night from 8 till 9 right here on Love Sport Radio. Well, James, we've talked about it for months, so we could frankly write the papers. Finally, if the Daily Mail are to be believed, finally the hammers are in for Alexander Mitrovic. Would you have him?
I think we would. I think, you know, with Perez gone and, you know, Hernandez expected to leave, we do need some firepower up front. If we were going to sign a striker this summer, I think I'd prefer Mitrovic over the rest of them so far, proven in the Premier League. And he's a bit bullish. It's just whether we can play him alongside Arnautovic, because that's the big question, as we've spoken about before, Johnny.
It's being reported in some places that the big Serbian could be available for around the 30 million mark. I'll confess that I'd assumed it would be more like 40, 45. Would that be a bargain?
If it is that sort of thing, I can't imagine we'll pay it for a start. We're led to believe we've only got 30 million quid to spend this summer. But, you know, I think he'd be definitely worth between the 30 and 40 mark, given that we know what we can do. He's scored a couple of goals tonight for his country as well.
Yeah, good finishes.
He's a proven goal scorer and in a good team. No disrespect to Fulham, but, he was having to do a lot himself last year. He still managed to bag 11 goals in the Premier League. So, you know, if we can get him for 30, 40 million and still have some money left over to reinforce other areas in the squad, then fine. But I can't see it happening. If, you know, if you're spending that money on one player, I can't imagine many other players are going to come in. So it'd be a bit of a risk.
So do you think this deal isn't actually as likely as people are saying, James?
Not at that price, no. I don't think it is. I think there are other players out there that we could get, which could do a very similar job, probably.
Who are you talking about?
Well, no one in particular. I just think, you know, given the market and given the bargains that we've managed to get over the years, I think, you know, I trust Pellegrini and Husilos to know the market well. You know, they've proven every club they've been at. So, and they've done it at West Ham. They picked up some decent bargains. It's a difficult one, because I'd love to see Mitrovic in the West Ham shirt, but I know we haven't really got the money to spend on a player, you know, of that calibre, of that amount of money. But at the same time, we've still got to reinforce our areas in the squad.
But hang on a minute, James, because the British press are linking West Ham to a whole host of players for a lot of money. We're hearing that Maxi Gomez and Lobotka of Celta Vigo could both be coming to the club. First, we were hearing it was 53 million just for Gomez. Now we're hearing it's 58 million for the pair. That's in the Mail today. The Express is saying 30 mil for Atlanta's Franck Kessier. Of course, Mail again saying 30 mil for Mitrovic. It's been widely reported 10 million quid for Alexis Claude Maurice, Lorient's young forward. Sky Sports weigh in as well. Morgan Sanson, the 24-year-old Marseille midfielder, for 25 million. Yeah. If you've got so little money, why do all these journalists seem to think you've got a war chest? Is there something going on behind the scenes here?
Maybe it's a smokescreen, Johnny. I don't know. We've been led to believe on many occasions this summer that last summer's £100 million spending spree was a one-off. It was just a way of sort of bedding Pellegrini in, bringing the players in he wanted to start off with. But we were always going to have a smaller budget in the second summer. And, you know, 30 and 40 million plus player sales is the fee that is constantly being touted about, you know, amongst sort of insiders within the club. And, if we are to be spending, you know, 50 million quid, two players, 30, 40 million quid on Mitrovic and, you know, 25 on Samson, then it means other players are going to have to be sold in order to make up that money. I don't think we've got rid of a lot of the deadwood already, but I don't think we can really afford to let many more players go in a way that's going to recoup that amount of money to spend on those players that we've been linked with.
Is youth the answer, James, in order to be able to improve the club rather cheaply? I mean, that link, for example, to Alexis Claude-Maurice, 10 million quid for a 21-year-old forward, would you advocate that kind of deal?
Definitely. It's promising. We've shopped well in France over the last couple of years as well. You know, Diop arrived on 25 million quid. You know, he's been superb in his first season. You know, obviously we had Payet from Marseille as well. I know that, that didn't last long, but he was good while it lasted. So we shot well there, and you know, I think it'd be, you know, it'd be a good signing. It'd be young. We've got a lot of young talent in the squad already. You know, we still have Dean Garner breakthrough. Obviously Declan Rice, who everyone knows about. Josh Cullen is coming back from Charlton from his really productive loan spell. Expecting him to get some minutes as well. Connor Coventry's coming through. So if we can bring some more young players into the squad and really build a young, exciting team, then you know, I think that I'd prefer us to go down that route than spending massive amounts of money on players that, you know, have had one or two good seasons but are a little bit overinflated in the market.
Mm. Is there a worry, though, James, that if you bring in young players only and you bed your own youngsters in, that the club in the short term doesn't make any progress at all? Are you happy as a West Ham fan to tread water in mid-table?
I think we've spoken about before, Johnny, on the show. You know, we had a good, solid first season under Pellegrini. It was refreshing not to be looking at relegation for once over the course of the season. And I think we need to, and I've said this so many times over the last couple of years, we need to learn to walk before we can run. And I think a couple of years mid-table won't be a bad thing. But then we need to start looking to push on after that.
But, you know, but James, if you sit in mid-table for a couple of years, the star men you have got, the likes of Felipe Anderson, won't their heads be turned? I don't believe that you signed Anderson with the promise of 3 years of finishing 10th.
No, absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. But unfortunately, that's the situation we're in. You know, there aren't many teams out there that are going to be able to go from battling relegation to then suddenly consistently challenging for the top six or seven, if any. The only team that's done that in recent years has been Leicester, and they went and won the league. We're not going to go and win the league next year. We need to be realistic. And okay, we've got, you know, £50 million players in Anderson, potentially Declan Rice is now, you know, in that price bracket. Yarmolenko, when he's fit, he's a luxury player as well. Arnautovic. But, you know, we need to be realistic in that we can't be fully expecting to be immediately challenged for that top six. You know, we have to be realistic. You know, it'd be nice to, obviously, but if we bring in a young squad, then, you know, that beds us in for a good sort of 3 or 4 years. So then we're ready in 2, 3, 4 years to consistently be challenged at that level.
What about Declan Rice then? Is there any concern amongst the fan base that he could be off to a Manchester City this summer?
I think there is a concern. I personally don't think it'll be this year. I think we'll have at least one more year out of him, if not two. I'm quite happy he didn't play in that second game for England. I thought he played well against Holland the other night, but the fear was that he was going to put on a masterclass on the international stage, and then everyone would sort of everyone would be sort of looking in his direction. But I think one more year. And if he has another solid season, I think we'll have real reason to be worried. But I think this summer, I think we might be a little bit safe.
Wonderful.
Hopefully.
Well, a message of hope for West Ham, James.
Yeah.
If you had to leave us with one deal that you think could happen, genuinely, you think it has got legs and you'd like to see it happen, who would that be?
I think Morgan Sanson at Marseille. I think it's a solid midfield player. I thought he was a lot older, but I was looking today, he's only 24.
But £25 million pounds is a lot of money for a solid midfield player.
It is a lot of money. And, you know, as I said before on this call, you know, we haven't got a great deal of money this summer, as we're led to believe. But, you know, if there's one player I'd like to see turn up this summer, it'd be a player like Samson. You know, he's a really, really good midfield player, solid midfield player. And, you know, him alongside Declan Rice, it'd be pretty good once Mark Noble hangs up his boots.
Well, we dread that day. We dread that day. That will be when the four horsemen ride through East London, James. So we're not even going to think about that. But thank you ever so much for your time, mate. Lovely to speak to you as ever. James Jones there of West Ham World. And, of course, the West Ham Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio with me every Wednesday, 8 till 9. It's James and Will Pugh of West Ham World. It's a cracking show. So if you're a Hammer listening to that, thinking, you know what, I want more detail on my club's transfer dealings this summer, right here, Love Sport Radio, 8 to 9 on Wednesdays is the place to be. We've talked Serie A already on the show. Harry Simeu said, listen, It's not a fashionable league. It's not an expensive league in which to shop. But for precisely those reasons, it's where some of these teams should be looking. There are gems to be found. Stick with us, because we'll find them.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow. Let's have a quick look at Serie A, because I noticed in today's back pages, constant links between the Italian league and English clubs. I want to return to Francesco, which is where the show started. West Ham interested, Spurs interested, Arsenal reportedly interested too, if we're listening to the Daily Express. He, of course, is the guy with the bizarre contractual situation where the rumour is AC Milan are legally obliged to buy him for £27 million. They can't afford him because of FFP, so they're going to immediately flog him on for £30 million. Now, £30 million is a lot of money. It's more money than you or I will ever see. But in today's transfer market, it's not insane. And actually, Kessié is exactly the kind of less-known emerging talent who clubs like West Ham, like Spurs, and if we're honest, like Arsenal as well nowadays, should be looking at. He's powerful, he's direct, he's gritty, he's got an eye for a pass as well. I think he could really strengthen the side. I'm not convinced by this link between Arsenal and Fiorentina's Jordan Veretout. Now, not because I think the player is not good enough for the Premier League, and I'm not saying if he wouldn't be, it would be because he's been relegated with Aston Villa. That's absolute nonsense. The reason why I think it won't happen is because I'm hearing from L'Equipe that he's already in talks with Napoli. And if you're playing in Italy and Napoli come calling, I reckon you go. Still not convinced by Kalidou Koulibaly to United for £84 million. I don't think it's happening. And Dybala to United in place of Paul Pogba going the other way. Madness. Tuttosport are saying that it's a fire sale in Turin this summer. Juve to sell Dybala, Mandzukic and João Cancelo to fund Pogba and or Mauro Icardi. I think it's all nonsense. So we're turning our attentions back to domestic concerns. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by two fantastic sports journalists. We've got Laurie Callis, who does a lot of work on Newcastle United, and Kieran Wellington with a soft spot for Aston Villa. Let's start with Villa, Kieran. Jordan Veretout. Lots of fans of English clubs have a very negative view of this guy because he was signed by Tim Sherwood in a very ill-fated spell in the Birmingham club's history, led to them getting relegated. Veretout was a total non-entity in that midfield. How do you rate him?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Johnny, because Laurie and I were actually just looking outside at Villa's season in that fateful 2015-16 campaign, and there was a midfield of Westwood, Veretout and Carlos Sanchez, who
three world-class names.
Premier League fans will know very well, actually, because you know they've all applied their trade in that league since, or well, if Veretout links are true. So they were just very similar midfielders. Veretout has gone away and has done very well. But I just think under Remy Gard, I think sometimes it's more the manager than perhaps the player.
Okay, so we're not advocating a move for Jordan Veretout, perhaps. What's going on with Villa's season? Because you come up with Dean Smith, who's, of course, a Villa fan. He's a great manager, and he came from Brentford. As a result, the rumour mill is very confused about Aston Villa. They don't know whether they're coming or going, because we're hearing reports that Dean Smith wants to sign every player he's ever managed at Brentford. We're hearing there have been £10 million bids for Saeed Benrahma. We're hearing he's in for Neil Morpay, possibly in for Romain Sawyers as well, or even Joe Aribo at Charlton. And then Villa are also being linked with the likes of Maxi Gomez for £50 million. Do you think they're going to have a glitz and glamour big spending summer, or a Brentford kind of summer?
I think the trials and tribulations of Fulham this season have really prevented, you know, these new Premier League clubs from doing the
same from being silly
and having the same fate. So no, I refuse to believe Maxi Gomez is going to play for Villa next season.
So
but
do you think these Brentford lads can make the step up?
Do you know, I've watched a few Brentford games because a couple of my housemates are Brentford fans, and I live quite close to the stadium. And Saeed Benrahma, my flatmate says, is the best player to have ever played for Brentford.
Absolutely magnificent.
And could easily make the step up to the Premier League. What I find interesting is that Hotter has signed for Villa.
Yeah, previously of Brentford, previous, then at Birmingham City.
Yeah, and was Birmingham's transfer record and hasn't really cut it there, probably because of Birmingham's, you know, off the field issues more so than what they've been doing on the field, and they've had to be a bit more functional and have not really, you know, had the luxury, let's say, of playing Hotta in a role where he can flourish. So it'll be that's the one I'm not sure he can make the step up, perhaps.
Yeah, I agree with you. That struck me as a rather odd move. Of course, Tammy Abraham was an instrumental part of that promotion push, joined on loan from Chelsea. Is he coming back?
Yeah, I'd love to see him back. I think, you know, he had an unbelievable season with Bristol City a few seasons ago, then joined Swansea on loan. You know, Chelsea just love to farm these loans.
least they're not all going to Vitesse anymore.
Yeah, sure. And Swansea also had quite a bad season, but I think Abraham showed glimpses of his quality there. Scored about 8 goals, I think. And at Villa, he looks like a striker that is maturing, both physically and mentally, with his game. Is unafraid to take on responsibility, such as big game penalties. He's stuck them away consummately. And I really do believe he could lead the line for Villa in the Premier League. Mm. Whether Chelsea want to loan him out is another matter.
Well, if they've got a transfer ban, they might be reluctant to do so. We're, of course, also joined in the studio by Laurie Callis, sports journalist covering Newcastle. Laurie, as a Newcastle man, are you hearing this chat of a newly promoted side splashing the cash and just going green with envy?
Well, you know what? I think we've had that one season already. Last year, obviously, Fulham splashed the cash. Didn't go too well for them. And
are you above such things?
I mean, we kind of have to be morally, because we know it's not going to be us. Of course, they bought Mitrovic off us, and, you know, he scored a few, but didn't work out as well as it might have.
Mitrovic was very good this year.
I think that's a separate argument, but we've been talking outside about, I think he plays one way. You've got to set your team up in a way where he's going to score goals. He doesn't hold the ball up. He's physical but not fast, so you really have to play a certain way, and I think you maybe detract from the rest of the way that you play.
And talking about these potential Newcastle deals, I'm quipping about Newcastle not spending any money because Mike Ashley famously is reluctant to do so, but we do still have the possibility of a takeover from billionaire Sheikh Khaled bin Zayed in the background. And if he comes in, we're hearing reports that Jose Mourinho would seriously consider becoming Newcastle manager. Laurie, what about Rafa?
Well, and I think that's what all Newcastle fans will say. It's coming up to, I think it's 20 days now left on his contract. The main thing, irrespective of this takeover, you can ask any Newcastle fan, is they'll want to keep Rafa. Obviously, we're dying for the takeover to go through. Nobody likes Mike Ashley. No one ever will like him, even if
I imagine some people do. I imagine Mike Ashley's mother quite likes Mike Ashley.
She doesn't. No, she may. But the thing is, I think Mike Ashley could spend £300 million this summer, and that still wouldn't probably be enough to get us off his back. And that's not because we're ungrateful or unambitious. Obviously, we are ambitious, but he's just put us through so much drama that it's just, I don't know, I just think he'd have to try a lot harder than
he's
that
to
win us around.
He's the boyfriend who's behaved so badly that no amount of flowers will do the trick.
With the Mourinho link, I think that's partly a victim of it going quiet slightly. I mean, you can never rule out a big rich owner coming in and, you know, making waves and trying to do things that make them look like they're serious contenders to bring the club back from the ashes. But I mean, come on, like, we've got to back Rafa. He's done great things, and to be honest, Mourinho, does he have a track record with bringing a lower down club up in the way that Rafa has with Newcastle? I'm not sure.
Can I just ask about Miguel Almiron? Because obviously Mike Ashley finally broke Newcastle's transfer record of 14 years to sign Miguel Almiron. How do you think he's done, Laurie?
Almiron, when he first came in, was brilliant, actually. He completely transformed the way we played. I mean, he didn't score or, you know, get an assist. He was really unlucky with a chip, actually, in one of his first games off the post. But he really transformed the way we played. He changed our counter-attacking. Rafa's best successes throughout his career have been as a good defensive side with the ability to counter-attack. We haven't quite had the players in the past, but Almiron's come in and he's made the attacking players around him play better. He's brought the ball out and he's really connected our defence and our attack, which was completely lacking the first half of the season with Kennedy and Atsu just really not able to fulfill that role. So it was unfortunate that he got injured at the end of the season, but apparently he put in a good performance for Paraguay yesterday, played 90 minutes in their 2-0 win, so hopefully he'll be great next season.
Laurie, give me one name who would be realistic with or without the transfer boost, who could come into the club, who's realistic and would improve you.
I don't want to risk saying anything. I mean, we've obviously been linked with Sanson. Everybody else has. I'm sure it'd be great, but I find that's one of those rumours where literally every, like Nicolas Pepe for Arsenal or whoever he's going to go, you know, he's linked with literally everybody in the world. But
you don't want to get your heart broken again. That's the thing for Newcastle fans. Laurie Kellis, Newcastle fan and journalist, thank you for joining me. It's been a fantastic show on the Transfer Rumour Mill. We've set the world to rights from Manchester United with Derek Brazil via North London, Arsenal, West Ham and, of course, the Serie A. The message from tonight's show is clear. Don't be snobbish about where your players are coming from. Don't be snobbish about their names, about their reputations. If you pick up the right one, you might just find a gem.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.